This week on Two Noobs, well, well, well. Looks like someone's changed their tune on the crisis at the southern border. Actual progress or political stunt? We'll let John decide. Then we continue our streak of articles crapping on EVs, and this time we have a trifecta for a jam it in there segment. Next, apparently some Indian officials took Will Smith's Spies in Disguise film too literally. Fear not, the pigeon has been released on his own recognizance. Finally, to avoid talking about Taylor Swift or the 40 whiners, we do some Super Bowl trivia. Hail Mary time, start the music. Hey, it is episode 175 of Two Noobs Talking. We are here recording on whether there'll be more winter day.
He's full of shit.
Not really.
It's Groundhog Day.
Hey, John, what did you think about that whole Groundhog Day segment? Have you got a chance to listen to it?
That was not full of shit as much as the groundhog is full of shit. So good luck, guys. I was telling my wife before we even started this earlier today that it was Groundhog Day. She didn't know. And I said, did you ever see the movie? Because that's the only good thing about Groundhog's Day that had ever happened. That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the toaster scene.
That's true. Well, I wonder, was it filmed on location? I'm trying to remember if it was.
Exteriors, probably, at least. The typical, you know.
Man, they went all the way up to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Wow.
But I don't know, because I don't know what Punxsutawney looks like, so can't say whether it was actually there or not.
Never been.
It's definitely in the Appalachian Mountains. It's way up there. I think it's like maybe about an hour and a half to the, what would that be, northeast of Pittsburgh. So kind of just like that way.
And so they like definitely didn't vote for Biden. Definitely not.
Well, that'll become important later.
Yeah.
All right. So, because John was gone and now he's back. I still have notes. This way.
Yeah, that's fine.
No,
the other way. Direction.
Okay. Yeah, this way.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yep,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Over, over here.
Over there. That is Jet Puffed John Tracy.
There you go.
That is Marble Icing Matt Craig. I in the middle, I'm semi-sweet Steve Murray.
Oh, God.
I wait for that every week. That is what I look forward to, by the way.
Well, I couldn't be milk chocolate. My name doesn't start with M.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, but I had some marshmallows in my ice cream after dinner today.
Look at
so
that.
It's like jet-puffed. Jet-puffed John Tracy, I think.
Whoa.
That works well.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I got me over 40, by the way.
You got your over 40.
We won't spoil it till later.
Before we get into all that, though, we have to take a moment to remember Carl Weathers, who passed away today at the age of 76. Very sad. Very sad indeed.
Yeah.
Most will remember him as Apollo Creed from Rocky. I like to remember him as Dylan from Predator because that was one badass movie.
That sure was. Yeah. He was awesome in that movie, too. Great actor. My God.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so former football player too.
Yeah,
is it
just an iconic? Like you think about like the movies that he was in, they were all like unbelievable in terms of American culture. Like the Rocky movies, obviously Predator, another one, and was damn talented too. Just amazing.
Yeah, he was also in Action Jackson.
Yeah, there you go.
And why not? That one. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
I did not either, but I'm sure he was good.
I'm sure if nothing else he was good at it.
Yeah.
He was,
sure, so they made their movie for him.
Yeah, so we'll dedicate episode 175 to Carl Weathers. How's
there
that?
You go.
Literally.
Yeah.
How's that? We salute you, sir. Yeah. All right. Well, here we go with our W Energy fun fact brought to you by W Energy Drinks. Visit W.GG. It's W.GG. Enter the promo code Two Noobs Talking, TOONOOPS. Talking, get 10% off your order. Hey, how about a tub of Dub Sludge?
It's
a mixture of Granny Smith apple, my favorite type of apple.
There you go.
And secret sauce. Ignorance is bliss, my friends. Without promo code, you get $4 off a $40 tub. John, fun fact, go.
Okay. The deepest hole ever drilled by man or woman or human was 40,226 feet.
How about that? That's pretty cool. I love that.
Let's convert that to miles.
Well,
that's 5, your job. That's not my job. I just brought you back.
So,
well, just so that's eight. That's roughly 8 miles. Roughly.
Yeah, I'm just, let's see, 4,226. Hold on, 40. If I can enter it in, that'd be great. 6 divided by 5,280.
Jews and apples.
7.61 miles officially.
I was close.
Steven.
Yeah. Where would they have drilled said hole?
I thought that was the whole China experiment. You know, you drill all the way from like Philadelphia, you go all the way to the Beijing. Is that not right?
I got bad news for you. If you drilled a hole from Center City, Philadelphia, you'd probably end up somewhere in the South Pacific.
There you go.
So you'll drown.
Kind of sort of hitting the mark, but yeah, I guess not, yeah.
But do you know where this hole was drilled?
No, they did not. No. They only, they were very vague. They were very vague on all their.
So maybe it was in Antarctica somewhere. Who knows? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's pretty far. 7.6 miles. That's a lot.
I mean, it could be totally like people that fish alone. You know, I caught one this big. It could have totally been that, you know, like I think this big.
7.6 miles.
Still
not big enough to fit my dick down there.
Now he's telling Joe Biden.
We're getting there. Calm down, John. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's
all right. Matt, now raise it up. What's your over 40 rant here?
I have to raise it up. I thought
you gotta get up started.
You did mention that you had marshmallow in your ice cream. I would like to complain to the makers of Swiss Miss hot chocolate.
Ooh.
Your marshmallows. What the hell? They are this small. And if you're looking like on screen, they're like probably about the size of, like, I don't know what you would call that. About the size of a tiny little bug.
I think your fingers are too big.
Yeah. Right? I would, like, if I want a marshmallow, I'd like, need a little bit more heft to it. You know what I mean? Like, I get you shipping and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, come on. I was like scraping out the last bits of my hot chocolate that I bought like about a month ago, and it's like, these are the marshmallows? I'm like looking at it.
You bought like the tub?
Bought the canister, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Canister, mm-hmm. Yeah. See, what you should do if you go Swiss Miss, they sell packets.
Yeah. Yes.
And they have one type where it's two packets connected together. One is the hot chocolate.
Hello.
And one that's completely filled with the marshmallows.
I have not seen that. I will find that though.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good to know. Thank you. Yeah.
What they lack in size, they make up for in volume.
Nice.
In that package.
That's awesome.
But what you really should do, like I do, is just have a bag of
constant
marshmallows and just throw those. Like, we have one of those Keurig coffee makers.
Yeah.
Which we don't use for coffee. We just use it for hot chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
And so I'll put the little thing in.
Yeah.
I'll put my mug in. But before my mug sits on the platform,
yep,
I will grab a handful of the, you know, the mini marshmallows.
Look at that. You just
fill the mug about halfway up. You have a film over top of the hot chocolate you have to drink through.
That's fantastic.
I also like to imagine after you fill that up and then you start filling it that you step back about 15 feet and you send little marshmallows and just yelling Kobe beep, every time one That's what I like to imagine.
That's hilarious.
I don't have his range. I would lose many marshmallows. It would not be a good scene.
Hey, it might be Tyrese Maxey, too. I mean, he was raining threes all over the place the other night.
He knows what he's doing. My point guard's better than yours. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Whoever's listening.
Yeah. There you go.
If only we could get our center healthy.
Yes. Yeah.
And not throw him out there with an injury, you know?
Sixers. Come on, Nick.
Fined for not telling people.
All right. Topic one, shall we?
Speaking of idiots, topic one.
Oh, boy.
It's your go-by to John.
I've been waiting all 2 weeks to have John back, Steve, on the podcast. to rip the prison a new one, and oh my.
Oh, well, we missed it last week when we were talking Fourth Amendment, because I know John would have went off on that one.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Stolen goods.
But the great thing about Joe Biden is he keeps giving you second chances to rip him a new one.
God. Even today. So, I mean, geez.
Second chance Joe. Here we go.
Second chance Joe.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that. Yeah.
There you go. Right. Second chance Joe.
USA Today article for topic one, gentlemen.
Oh, the crayon of the newspaper crayon. World. Yeah.
The
crayon,
and the fact that they're writing this. Like, bro.
Well, they are the crayon of the newspaper world, Johnny, for a reason.
Bro.
Hey, got green.
You are not doing a good job in the White House. The USA Today is just going after you constantly.
That's funny.
All right, well.
You didn't even spell their own name.
President Joe Biden. Is seeking a border shutdown, gentlemen, as he urges Congress to pass a bipartisan bill under negotiation by senators.
Oh, boy.
It includes new presidential authority to, quote, shut down the border when it becomes overwhelmed.
What?
If that were the law today, the sandwiches were just delicious.
Cheeseburger.
If that were the law today, I'd shut down the border right now and fix it quickly, Biden said Saturday in South Carolina.
No, you wouldn't.
His tone has changed.
You don't say.
After record daily border crossings over the past year, the president has heard from Democratic mayors who have raised concerns about needing additional resources to handle the influx of migrants in their cities. No, it's not, Biden said this month when a reporter asked him whether the border is secure. I haven't believed that for the last 10 years. And I've said it for 1,600,000,000 years.
Dinosaurs.
Dino nuggies, John. John, you're wearing red, right, John?
Yes.
Matt, I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, what?
With the black with the hat.
Well, yep.
All right. So, as I posed in the open, John, actual progress in the office or a political stunt to try to attract some Republican votes?
He's an idiot. But he's not rich. He can't even get Democratic votes. So how is he going to get a Republican vote? No, he's trying to play the game of, if Congress will help me, I can fix me. Just put back the thing that you changed, the remain in Mexico thing, where you get caught, you get deported, you got to remain there until you get your citizenship, you can come back. Wow. Your problem would be solved. Or maybe stop with the catch and release that the Obama administration won. If you just didn't do that, he would save himself a lot of migrants that he's worried about stopping in the border. There are people that are coming to this country for good reasons. There are people who are coming to this country for bad reasons. And his stupidity isn't helping. And I think that's why people are going crazy and making such a big deal about it. Because his stupidity is not helping. It's not good when this man can step on a podium and just flat out lie and try to trick people into, I need all this help from this body of government, when all he needs to do is two executive orders. That's all he has to do is just reverse his two executive orders, the catch and release and the remain in Mexico, and this stuff would slow down quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's been known, Jens, I don't know if you know this.
Liar. Straight liar.
You see, that's the great thing is you guys can finish each other's
sandwiches.
Potatoes.
He has been.
Look, bowling pin. Okay,
He has been 0 for I don't know how many. the amount of losses he's taken just on his foreign policy alone. He's probably one of the worst foreign policy presidents we've ever had.
Matt, would you say 40,226 maybe?
Sounds about right. Yeah, 40,226, yeah.
Seems
if you think I'm crazy thinking of this as an international issue, check again. Mexico, different country than the United States. Ergo, international. Yeah, this is a big problem. And this isn't him seeing the light. I got news for you. This isn't him seeing the light all of a sudden. Last time I checked, it's now 2024. His office is up for re-election in about 9 months from now, of which I cannot wait until November gets here as soon as humanly possible so we can get this over with. Although I'm scared to death, too, about what's going to happen with this country. No matter what happens, I'm still, like, worried about where the country is going to be headed, Jen. So I don't know about you guys. But
we've had 4 years to cobble together better plans, and it hasn't materialized.
Yes.
We have the Chiefs and 49ers all over again, gentlemen.
Yeah. But I'm still also okay with him not being president.
Yeah, agreed. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Roll the dice at this point.
And now, you know, he's 82. And, you know, has he served the country well? Not really. But he's been, you know, in Congress.
He's been a part of the problem for a really long time.
For 50 some odd years. Yeah. And this is, we talk about the Trump supporters, right? And oh, they want to drain the swamp. This is the kind of guy they're looking at and saying, look at this guy. Look at what he's done. He's done jack shit since he's been in Washington. And that's exactly what the entire class does. They talk a big game, but when push comes to shove, they don't do what they're supposed to be doing. They don't defend, you know, the border. And if they can't defend the border, that's a big time problem. And that, I mean, that, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter in any regard, but that should at least get you to think, if this guy's not capable and the other guy wasn't capable of handling the coronavirus pandemic, maybe you want to start looking at third parties. Look at other options. Don't always go for your main political parties. I know that's like a steep hill to climb. I get that. But that also has to, like, be brought into the national discussion, I would think.
Where's Ross Perot when you need him?
Yeah.
Can't I finish?
I'd vote for Ross right now.
I think a lot of people issue. Would if he was alive. Really? Yeah.
No issues.
Even if his solution is, I'm going to throw $4 billion.
I don't care. Take my taxes. They screwed me enough. They screwed me enough by taking my money. I can take another 8 years of you taking my money to fix it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not looking for a quick fix. I'm looking for a fix.
Yeah. A little bit more on this legislation. Senators have discussed giving the Department of Homeland Security power to shut the border down to migrants crossing illegally when daily crossings exceed a daily average of 4,000 over a 1 week period.
That's just dumb.
If migrant border encounters surpass an average of 5,000 a day, a threshold now met, by the way, DHS would be required to close the border to migrants seeking to cross without prior authorization between ports of entry. Under the proposal, certain migrants would be allowed to remain in the U.S. if they are fleeing torture or persecution in their countries. The Biden years have been marred at the border by the after effects of COVID-19. Once the worst of it waned, pent-up demand for economic opportunity, family reunification exploded, as did the need to flee political upheaval in places like Venezuela. New records were set for daily migrant encounters at the border, which in December topped 10,000 in a 24-hour period. Border agencies registered a record 6.3 million migrant encounters at the border since Biden took office, according to a Migration Policy Institute analysis of Office of Homeland Security Statistics, or MPOs.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But as you have pointed out, this may be political. If Republicans don't get behind a border deal, Biden will be handed a new argument for the campaign trail that he tried to shut down the border but was blocked by his opponents. So
he
what
also,
do we what can we do, guys?
He also opened the border too. It also contributed to that. So I don't want that to be kind of glossed over either.
I don't think America, the people of America, the actual people that, you know, run this country and, you know, work hard every day. I don't think their buying is gay. It's just lie after lie, buying it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're at the bottom of the barrel of people that are like, he's full of shit. It's like, well, thank you. It took you 4 years to get here, but glad to have you.
Yeah, like, exactly. John, you live in Texas, so like, I mean,
yes, I live in Central Texas, nowhere near the border. But I have seen it.
Thank God. Yeah,
Texas is big.
Yeah.
By the way.
But you've been to like cities like Eagle Pass. You've told this to us in pre-production before.
Yes. Eagle Pass is an awesome place. I don't know why they're politicizing it. It seemed pretty safe to me when I was there. It's a border town. There is Mexico and there is Eagle Pass, Texas. Like they share things.
Yeah.
People come over from Mexico, shop, dine. People go from Eagle Pass, shop, dine. Like, it's a really cool thing. When I got to drive around it, I was there for like a couple of days of work. I got to just drive around and check it out because I'd never been that close to the border before.
Sure.
And I accidentally drove into Mexico, but I wasn't in Mexico legally. Google Maps said I was in Mexico, and I was like, this is cool. Like, border towns should be cool. But the reason I say they're cool is because there were more Border Patrol agents down there. You know how you normally see cops in a city?
Yep.
Change that to the Border Patrol and then add the cops to that. So that's how that town was handled. So there was at least a car every four cars driving by with lights on it that were doing something to protect the citizen.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's it. That's important. Look, especially in a border, you need that.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah. I think also that Steve kind of alluded to this in the article too. A lot of the problem is also, you know, like countries like Venezuela aren't exactly helping the situation either. And I think if you're going to get to the root of the problem, you have to kind of address that in your foreign policy. And again, I go back to what I was saying before. If you had a competent foreign policy, you would address this with Venezuela and saying like, hey, dude, like, come on. Like, what are you doing? What's going on down there that's causing all this to happen? Now, I think we all know what is happening down there. There's been all kinds of corruption and et cetera.
Yeah.
And the economy has not done well in Venezuela. And people are going, you know what? Maybe I want to take the, I don't know how many thousands of miles journey through all kinds of fun terrain to get to the United States because I see the land of opportunity.
I don't think it's just people from Venezuela. I think people from all over the world see this as an opportunity to get into the United States, whether good or bad. This is the quickest way.
Yep.
This is the this is the quickest way. You could just jump on the train at this point because it has shown the United States has shown such a bad job at this for so long.
Yeah.
I was listening to somebody, and I don't know if I got the statistics right, so I'm not going to say like the actual numbers, but there were, on one report I was listening to, said that there were Turkish, Pakistani, people from Iran, Afghanistan, and two other countries, I can't remember what they were, but they have been in it over 1,000 people. Like, I don't know what the exact number is, but it was over 1,000 people. They're the people that are getting met at the border now. It's not the South American countries anymore. It's the Middle Eastern countries, and it's people that don't like us very much.
Yeah.
And that scares everybody because...
Sure.
If you get two dudes that don't like America and they can get in and disappear.
Absolutely. And to try to track them down, that's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot to go through.
It's going to be hard.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Steve, any final thoughts on this, or what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Christmas and we had fruit roll-ups that went on for days. Nico Eagles.
Never mind.
In the Super Bowl. So real quick spill over, some legislation passed in the House recently.
Mm. Okay.
They want to deport illegal immigrants who are found to have committed a DUI.
Ooh.
What say you?
Hey, step one in the right direction.
Right? We got enough dumbasses in this country committing DUIs. We don't need illegal people coming in and doing more of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, when you go to the bank, there's a spider, and it does crack cocaine. I don't know.
Just like Hunter.
John knew right where I was going with that. All right, jam it in there, gentlemen. Topic two.
Let's do it.
And what is this now? 3 weeks in a row we've got EV.
Oh, at least
shitting on segment.
At least.
I got to check my employment records.
Well deserved, by the way, because I think a lot of people are having their eyes open and saying like how horrible these cars are.
Yeah. All right. So first article we've got here is.
But if you buy one, please.
Well, you can certainly hear us in the electric vehicle because there's no noise.
Yeah.
But first article, Green Biz. New Jersey has officially passed a law that makes disposal of EV batteries in landfills illegal in the state.
Do-do-do.
This is the Electric and Hybrid Vehicle Battery Management Act, or
and that follows exactly what I'm going to say.
It requires battery manufacturers to create an alternative procedure to reuse and recycle as much of the discarded EV battery as possible. So each company is required to create a plan for the collection, transportation, remanufacturing, reuse, recycling, and disposal of used propulsion batteries.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's actually a law that requires people to do something when you get something. Oh, this is genius.
What a shock.
The goal is to create a circular economy for EV batteries, which can catch fire or leach chemicals into the water table when they decay in landfills. According to New Jersey State Senator Bob Smith, who was the sponsor of the bill, we developed guidance for those in the growing recycling industry that will support innovation, job creation, and environmental stewardship from reusing materials and parts. As he tries to put a positive spin on this law, but gentlemen, this law is because those batteries are toxic. And now this is just going to add to the bill because these companies are now responsible for programs to recycle, which costs some green.
Moolah.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, absolutely, but it needs to happen because this can't fall on the state. This can't fall on the people. This has to fall. It is going to fall on the people for the price of the vehicles, but this needs to fall on the companies. You can't just, it's not Pimp My Ride. You just can't be like, look, got an EV, here you go, out the door, screw you and the environment, because that's what they have been doing.
Our 2025 model's out. Trade it in. We'll dump your 2024 in the landfill for you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If you buy it from us, though, we will deliver it to Joe Biden's mansion, and we can just use his land for that
just
landfill.
Off he's 1600 Pennsylvania.
He's not using it. No, I mean his mansion in Delaware. Not at scrape the White House. He's already done enough of that. I want just his mansion. Yeah, we'll just surround all that land he has. It'll be fine. They won't notice.
Take care of it. Don't worry about it.
They won't notice.
They won't notice at all.
Well, so Matt, I guess, do you take this as good news? New Jersey's requiring this
to be
happening?
Yeah, step in the right direction. I agree with Johnny on that. This is delicate, obviously, and obviously brand new to everybody. Now that this is being forced, with all these electric vehicles now saying, oh, you should do the science and save the environment with buying an electric vehicle. But, I think it's a step forward in the right direction. It's a long way to go, though. I still think that the American public has a say in this, and as we'll show in a couple more articles, I think we're saying that, well, not only is a major company now starting to push back, but now it's like you're seeing more and more problems happening with these vehicles in terms of performance, things like that. We've mentioned this on the podcast before too. Huge stats. What was it? I think you had an 80%. More mechanical problems, right, Steve? A couple weeks ago. Yeah, that was right. Crazy. And yeah.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, it's just, it's like you're just doing a project just ongoing, and you're just, we'll just throw it out there and we'll just fix it with duct tape. Don't worry about that. You know, that kind of.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't be in this mess with filling landfills with toxic batteries if we weren't trying to rush through this thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you alluded to topic, or not topic two, but article two of the trifecta here. This is futurism. Even with big inventories, fewer buyers are choosing to go electric for a number of reasons, including price and lack of charging infrastructure. But now, Akio Toyoda, spelled with a D, who is the chairman of Japanese carmaker Toyota, spelled with a T, is arguing earlier this month that the latest EV trends are warning signs, with customers, quote, finally seeing reality. The enemy is CO2, he argued. No matter how much progress battery EVs make, I think they will still only have a 30% market share. The rest will be taken up by hybrid EVs and hydrogen fuel cell powered cars, he argued. My hydrogen fuel cell has a half-life of 120 years. The U.S. EV market has struggled to maintain growth rates throughout 2023 despite record sales. China isn't faring much better, with EV adoption expected to slow down this year, and analysts citing economic uncertainties. So Toyota is, I'm not sure they were ever on the EV bandwagon, but they're decidedly off it, it sounds to me.
Yeah. They were more hybrid than full EV. They took on the market the way you should take on the market as a car company.
Yeah.
Very early on with the, we need to make a change. Let's make a hybrid. Let's perfect the hybrid. Then we'll move on to the electric vehicle later. And they learned through their time they did a really good job with the hybrids, but they learned really quickly. I remember reading a couple articles years ago. They were like, hybrid's good. I like the engine. A little bit of gasoline, a little bit of battery, charges itself. Battery lasts a little bit longer. It was, I can see why they're taking this stance, and I think they're right. And I just want to stand up and say I was right, because I said it in one of our EV segments that 30% of the market share is what I was predicting back then.
Yeah.
When we were talking about this,
it should sit right there.
It should. Electric vehicles should be 30% of the vehicles on the road in the United States.
I say they should be a zero until you figure that shit out. But
I know, I understand. I think when they figure that out, that's where it's going to settle. You're going to have your people, just like the people with the helicopters, just like the people with the jet planes. You're going to have a certain segment of society that is going to drive an electric vehicle, whether you yell and scream in their face that it's the worst idea ever. They're not going to care.
Yeah. No, agreed.
True.
I would also say this too, gents. I mean, Toyota, they're world famous. Toyota Production System, TPS, very famous in project management, very famous in the Lean Six world. For them to come out and basically, you know, for the owner of Toyota to basically say, you know what, this isn't working. We need to continue along EV. They're going to shut that thing down. I really do believe that. If it's not profitable at the end of the day, and don't mistake that, gents. The finances and all of this make a huge factor. People aren't buying them now.
Yep.
Toyota's not dumb. They're going to look at that and go,
they,
you know
what?
Okay, we have, exactly. We've got hybrids. They're one of the world class in terms of selling hybrids.
Hybrids
that are out there.
Really good mileage too.
Huge.
Theirs are even better than most hybrids.
Agreed. Mm. They've perfected it.
I drove one of their Accords. I think it was a 2018.
That's a Honda, John.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not
you
the
mean the Camry, the
Corolla.
I think, right?
The Camry. Yeah, no, the Corolla was what I had. The Camry is what I drove, and it drove better than my gas Corolla.
Yeah.
And I really liked the way that one drove. And the fact the hybrid, it was, you didn't feel when it changed systems, when it was, you know, charging the battery, when it was slowing you down. Like the Prius, I've driven a Prius before, and it does this.
Yeah.
But their upgrade to that when they were putting them in their other models, far better. Yeah. Like they figured it out years ago. Yeah. I mean, this was years and years ago.
Yeah. No, it's great.
I'm curious about the hydrogen fuel cell powered cars because I haven't heard much about that at all.
I haven't heard anything. Yeah.
Maybe that's just not something that's close to being rolled out. But
I also remember years ago, too, and like when I was in high school, I did an environmental science class and they were doing natural gas vehicles. And you saw them kind of blip on the radar and then it kind of just straight down.
UPS, you know, UPS runs them, but I haven't seen anybody other than UPS that run, and that might be UPS might just, hey, we got technology. Gets my ass. You'll get your packages on time.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think natural gas has its own set of issues there. So Toyota's off the EV bandwagon. We'll see how long it takes others to finally see the light, but this might help. So third article here, crash test data released last week by the University of Nebraska. Electric vehicles typically weigh 20 to 50% more than gas powered vehicles. Thanks to batteries that can weigh almost as much as a small gas powered car, as we've talked about previously, and they have lower centers of gravity. Because of these differences, guardrails can do little to stop electric vehicles from pushing through barriers typically made of steel. This was research conducted at Nebraska's Midwest Roadside Safety Facility. They watched as an electric-powered pickup truck hurtled toward a guardrail and started on the facility's testing ground. The nearly 4-ton 2022 Rivian R1T tore through the metal guardrail and hardly slowed until hitting a concrete barrier yards away on the other side.
Goodness.
Cody Stoll with the facility said, "We knew it was going to be an extremely demanding test of the roadside safety system. The system was not made to handle vehicles greater than 5,000 pounds. Guardrails are intended to keep cars from careening off the road at critical areas such as bridges and waterways, near the edges of cliffs and ravines, and over rocky terrain where injury and death in an off-road crash are much more likely. Guardrails are kind of a safety feature of last resort. I think what you're seeing here is the real concern with EVs, their weight. There are a lot of new vehicles in this larger size range coming out in that 7,000 pound range, and that's a concern. So far, we don't see good vehicle to guardrail compatibility with electric vehicles, according to Stoll."
That's astonishing. It's 7,000 pounds with some of these electric vehicles.
Here's the problem. You go 3,000 more pounds, your personal vehicle will be governed by the DOT.
Is 10,000 the limit?
Yeah, you're screwed at that point. Like, if they're they're not getting any lighter. Look at what Elon Musk just put out. I saw that again, by the way, yesterday. That thing ran past. I think I was doing 77 because I looked down because I wanted to see. That truck passed me like it was at the Daytona 500.
I got to drive my sedan through the truck weigh station now, I guess.
Could you imagine that?
It's really just astonishing because it's like I made this point in the podcast last week, gents. The added weight, I mean, that's just going to add so much unnecessary weight onto our roads and bridges that we all need to fix. I mean, my God.
We're not good at fixing now? Imagine later?
Thank you. Yes, John, exactly. Like, what are we doing with all of this? What I asked last week is I don't quite understand why we're doing this. Why there's a rush to do this when all of this... Last 3 weeks we've been, like, ripping EVs. To be honest, it's not because we're picking the choosing. We're looking at what's going on here in the world, and we're seeing this, and it's like...
It keeps popping up. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's not getting any better for them. I need to tell a story just to laugh this all off. I told you guys in pre-production. We were driving down the tollway and we were headed to a job earlier this week, and there was a guardrail. I mean, mangled. I mean, separate it, but mangled in many ways. Like it spiraled. Like, think of like a candle holder as we were kids in wood shop and metal class, right? It was like that, right? And my partner was like, the hell did that? And we drove past, and later on in the day, Steve sent this article about the guardrails. And I turned to him, I was like, yo, bro, I think I figured out what did it to that guardrail. And he just started busting out laughing because it looked like that. It looked like a missile went through.
Wow.
It was a big ass truck or one of Elon's Teslas.
You know, there are smaller EVs.
Yes.
Right. Which they're not going to weigh 8,000 pounds. But somewhere in this article, I remember seeing that it's a certain point, you know, when SUVs and large vehicles were only 10% on the market. But now it says something like 50% of people are driving huge SUVs or pickup trucks.
Well, people want.
If they're going to switch to EVs, they're going to be getting the equivalent SUV or truck pickup model. Yeah. So those are going to weigh 8,000, 10,000 pounds.
Yes.
And you're going to have to replace all the safety systems on those roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because you don't think the customer is not going to buy the four-door sedan. It shows in every brand. In every brand, they've gone from this little car that we all get when we were younger. And as you get a family, as you get a business, as you get everything, you grow. The cars are huge now. The gas power cars are huge now. So you don't think it's going to happen with the EVs in 10 years?
Oh, hey, would you like to trade in your Chevy Suburban for a Chevy Bolt? I don't think so.
It's 35,000 pounds. It once took out a tractor trailer.
Oh my gosh.
This is the black hole of vehicles, gentlemen. So the battery is so dense, light cannot escape it.
Jeff Bezos would probably try to shoot it into the atmosphere.
And if you'd like to drive a heavy vehicle, maybe you should visit our website, twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. You can't buy a heavy vehicle there, but you can see videos of us, like past episodes, including the current one you're watching now. But you can also go all the way back. We would take you to YouTube if you want to go back that far. Plus, you can find places where you can listen to us audibly on various podcasting websites. And if you don't see what you like there, then go. You can get our RSS feed from the website. Plug that into your podcatcher, find your favorite, and listen to us in your electric vehicle, which has no engine sound whatsoever.
Oh, God.
What do you say, Matt?
That kind of goes,
right?
Oh, my God. That's just so annoying.
Vroom.
While you're there, obviously, you can visit us also on our YouTube channel. Hit like, share, and subscribe. And, hey, if you have a comment on the episode, feel free to make it down in the comment section down below. And we love the people that love our shorts. I mean, it's been really encouraging to see. So awesome stuff. No question about it. But yeah, hit like, share, subscribe, make a comment right down there. There. Down there. There. Do it.
I'm pointing at the comments, not my dick. Okay?
Well,
sorry.
Topic number three.
Hey, gentlemen. That's my job.
I know.
I'm not ready to go there yet. Okay, now I am. Topic number three, gentlemen. Sky News. We have John to thank for this weird file.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
This is probably the greatest weird file.
Everybody's thanking me, because if you can't find humor in this, you are a shitty person.
Oh, yeah.
A pigeon. Yes, a
That's
pigeon.
Not his
Just
name.
One pigeon.
That's not his name. That's not
a
his
pigeon.
Name.
Pigeon. That's a bird.
Yep.
Accused of being a Chinese spy, has been cleared by police and released back into the wild. The bird was detained by officers after
Beg pardon?
Yes.
The bird was, I am reading this directly from the news yes. article.
Okay.
Once detained by officers.
D-E-T-A-I-N-E-D. Just in case anybody didn't hear what he said.
Okay.
By officers after it was captured in May last year near a port in Mumbai. It was found with two rings tied to its legs featuring words that appeared to be Chinese.
Whoa. So obviously communist.
Detectives suspected the pigeon was involved in espionage and took it in.
Obviously.
Query.
Two rings, Chinese.
I have a query. How did they detain said pigeon? Did they, like,
they didn't. They didn't release that information.
No, but I want to know. I want to know, like, how you detain a pigeon. Because, like, do you, like, clip on, like,
I mean,
these
I would have grabbed him
handcuffs?
By the rings and put some cuffs on him.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was going to say.
Like,
by his bird legs or something like
you're
that?
Coming with me.
Yeah, you're coming with me, pal.
You put one of those Hannibal Lecter, like, masks over his beak. Whoa. So he can't bite you.
Oh. We're okay.
The length of time is...
Mr. Pigeon, tell us everything you know. I ate his liver. After 8 months...
That's terrifying, by the way.
Yes.
After 8 months in captivity...
Did they forget about him?
They were doing torturing and interrogation. Of course, you know, this is James Bond shit right here, man.
This is the best after 8 months. What they learned? Oh man,
you can see them all there in the interrogation room, like smoking cigarettes. Like he's gonna crack soon. I know it.
And he's just pacing back and forth on the table. You aren't gonna crack him. He didn't know anything.
Because he's not even
the species you thought he was.
Waterboarding. So it emerged after eight. It took them 8 months to figure out. The creature was an open water racing bird from Taiwan, which had escaped and flown to India. Police then approved the bird's transfer to the Bombay Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, where doctors set free the falsely accused avian on Tuesday.
Just in case people who are listening to us only watch CNN, Taiwan, China, not the same thing. I just want to clear that up.
Regardless of what John Cena might tell you, yeah. Taiwan,
different place. Okay, that not
got it.
Not the same.
Love it. Oh, that is wow. I mean.
Wow. I thought the dude that dropped his cell phone in India was bad. Who are these guys? And do they know him?
That's the question. This is probably one of, if not probably the best weird file we've ever run across, I would argue, on the history of this podcast.
A pigeon for espionage? Absolutely.
A pigeon arrested for espionage in China. Are you kidding me? That has got to be like tops. The cell phone dropping into the reservoir, okay. You know, that's like, that happens to like practically everybody if you're not a government official. And, oh, wait a minute. We made that story more hilarious.
To be fair, dropping the cell phone, a common mistake.
Yeah.
Having the authority to drain a reservoir of 4 million gallons of water, that's
not
where
a common
it went over
mistake.
The top.
But this is also my problem. Who has the authority to just snatch a pigeon out of nowhere? Like I can't just walk outside and take one of those crackleins, right, and be like, that's a Chinese spy, and then keep him in a box for 8 months until I figure out that he's not a Chinese spy. I really need to answer some questions here.
if you watch the Mythbusters, they even had a devil of a time trying to capture a pigeon when they had that chicken gun, right,
that's
Steve?
That's right.
You know, and it was like it went and flew away. So, John, to your point, how exactly do you apprehend a pigeon? That had to have taken incredible cunning strength and dexterity, the likes of which we haven't seen, which is really bizarre.
Come here.
There's more, though.
Yes. John implores me to continue.
Oh boy.
This is not the first time something like this has happened in India. They have also previously detained birds over security fears. For example, in 2020, suspicious police in Indian-controlled Kashmir captured a pigeon that belonged to a Pakistani fisherman. An investigation found the bird was not a spy.
I want you to tell me exactly who sent you, right?
Who are you working for? Who are you working for? The who doesn't exist.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, it was not a spy. It had simply flown across the border between the two countries, as, you know, birds often do.
Shocking. We would have rowed a boat. I would have found him suspicious.
That's amazing. I would have never known that before.
Something suspicious about that pigeon crossing the border in a trench coat and hat.
Why is he wearing goggles? That's suspicious to me. Bird flying?
What about a watch? State secrets.
Oh my God. In China.
Right.
Wow.
And to round it out, 2016, another pigeon was detained after it was allegedly found with a note that threatened Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi.
No, I could understand. I could understand that.
I could understand needing to examine the pigeon for fingerprints to find the culprit.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't see the point in detaining the pigeon much beyond that.
Yeah, I don't think you're like checking gang tattoos. I don't think
the pigeon was the threat to the Prime Minister.
I think he was carrying the threat. Yes.
The hilarious word in all this is detained. I can't get enough of that word. A pigeon was detained. That's the greatest phrase I've ever heard in my life. It's so hilarious.
Well, you know, it actually just occurred to me. Big Bird is the ringleader. He could write.
Yeah, he could.
He's the one behind all of this. Arrest him at once.
Exactly. Yes.
And Snuffy. Do not let Snuffy go.
And Elmo, too. I mean, he's asking everybody how everyone's doing for crying out loud. You got to get rid of him, too. You know, it's like, that's awful.
Elmo's smuggling pigeons up your asshole. You gotta stick them way up there. Way up there.
All right.
The pigeon was detained. That greatest.
At least he was released.
Ever.
Eight months
in the slammer, dude.
Can you imagine?
The NFL season doesn't even last that long, does it?
No.
It's darn near close to it.
He came out with a tear tattoo on his
exactly. On his
PETA has got to be outraged.
Oh, people, absolutely.
They're too worried about the frigging groundhog that gets 17 meals a day and lives better than I do. But this poor ass pigeon gets detained because he's wearing some kind of ring on his finger and he's not hip to the times.
Exactly.
8 months later, he gets free.
It's disastrous.
Blowing a harmonica and
listen to Johnny Cash songs.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
Oh my god.
Ever see the pigeon cam?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the camera it goes like this.
Yes.
All right, we gotta get off this before we lose it. Right.
Yeah.
Topic four, Pigeon Bowl. A Super Bowl. It's the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, but we don't care. I'm not watching this year.
Yeah.
It'll be
unless they detain Taylor Swift for 8 months for being a Chinese spy. I totally would watch that.
Wouldn't that be hilarious? Oh my gosh. She can't miss their trouble, her flight, all that kind of stuff. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, where's she gonna park her private jet, gentlemen?
On the strip in Las Vegas, maybe?
Just like in Con Air, dude.
That stadium
is a great underrated movie, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
All right. Enough. with that nonsense.
Yeah.
So instead of talking about the Super Bowl, because we don't really give a shit, we're going to do Super Bowl trivia, because Matt's got questions, and John and I maybe have
answers.
See? We'll see. Well, so we're
there'd be some multiple choice, some that we kind of know, some that would be like, okay, we have to rack the brain a little bit, but not too terribly.
I cede the floor to the esteemed gentleman from King of Prussia, and take it away.
Say thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah. So let's just start right off, gents. So I guess I'll just open up to anybody first. Which quarterback threw the most interceptions in a single Super Bowl game? Okay, so which QB threw the most picks? So your choices are...
Ooh, I do get choices, okay.
That's John's boy, Donovan, John Elway, Rich Gannon, or Kerry Collins.
See, that's funny, because I was going to say Neil O'Donnell, but he's not even one of your choices, so...
God, that was really bad, too.
Neil O'Donnell.
Yeah,
I think Neil O'Donnell was colorblind in that game.
Probably. Yeah. God, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
John, you want to take it?
What do you think?
Take first crack at it.
Yeah, I'll take first crack at it. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to go with, wasn't that Raiders Super Bowl very high scoring?
You're talking the Bucks one?
Raiders Bucks.
Somewhat. Yeah.
The Bucks dropped 48 or something in that.
Something like that.
All right, give me the choices again.
So you got Collins, Rich Gannon, John Elway, Donovan. Your boy.
What's his name was the coach of Tampa Bay, right? John Gruden?
Yeah, John Gruden was the coach of Tampa Bay, yeah.
Yeah, and he coached Oakland before. I'm gonna go with Rich Gannon then.
You're right.
Okay.
He
threw five interceptions in that game against Tampa.
It was five, really?
Yeah, I think I remember a lot. That's what I was trying to figure out. Was that the Super Bowl that he left? Yeah. And then, you know, obviously, he coached that team before. He would know something.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't Donovan. I assumed it wasn't Elway. I know Elway had some shitty Super Bowls, but I can't imagine him throwing the record number of picks. And I knew it wasn't Kerry Collins, because the Ravens didn't get that many picks in that game.
Although it certainly seemed like, if you were a Giants fan.
If Donovan would have done that in the Super Bowl, you guys never would have heard the end of it ever with me. So it definitely was not Donovan.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, gents, another one. This one, I think, should be pretty easy, I think.
I'll take this one.
Yes, this is yours, Steve.
Which player scored three receiving touchdowns in two separate Super Bowl championship games? He's the only player in the history of the NFL to do this. That's an amazing feat. Because normally most receivers, if you get a good touchdown, it's one.
Right.
The better ones usually get two, but three touchdowns, and this happened in two separate Super Bowls.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I know who it might be, but go ahead.
Gary Clark, Michael Irvin, Lynn Swann to Jerry Rice.
I want to say Jerry Rice, because it just makes sense.
Dang. Yeah, I think that's the obvious one. I would like to think that it was Lynn Swann, but it's not.
No, it was Jerry Rice. Jerry scored three TDs in Super Bowl 24 against Denver.
Wow.
And then also three touchdowns with Steve Young against Chargers in Super Bowl 29.
Yeah, go Steve Young.
Yeah. There you go.
Love Steve Young.
All right.
Well, I got a little concerned when you didn't name Jerry in the first three and you named Michael Irvin, because I'm like, shit, it's going to be Michael Irvin. I have to give him credit.
And they got paid. Yeah, they pasted, but it was more Emmett.
They slammed the Bills both times. So,
yeah
exactly. You know,
it could have made sense that he could have scored three touchdowns in each Super Bowl. But.
Yeah. All right. So now we go from greatness to not so great in the Super Bowl. Which team has currently the worst point differential in Super Bowl history? All right. So this is like, you're giving more points away than you are scoring. So your choices are Buffalo, New England, Minnesota, or Denver.
I'm going to have to go Minnesota.
Okay. Steve?
Well, if you're coming to me, I'm assuming he's wrong.
That would be right. So, John, that's not right.
Okay.
Minnesota's not correct.
All right. I'm going to say Denver, because they got pasted in a shitload of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They beat the Packers by like a touchdown.
Yeah.
And maybe they got a couple extra points from Atlanta, but Atlanta, they got whacked.
They've been whacked a few times.
Yeah.
Minus 112 all time.
Oh.
Wow.
And they won two Super Bowls.
Minus 112. Yeah. I mean, they got pasted too. I think it was like 27-10, their first one against Dallas and New Orleans. I think that was the final score. But yeah, the game against the Giants, they lost by 19. The game against Washington, they lost by 32. So all of those, and then of course, like they gave up the most against the 49ers.
Wow, that's crazy.
Kind of a deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I still remember the Simpsons episode when Homer dreams he's playing in the Super Bowl and he dives into the end zone. It's like, oh, that touchdown by Homer Simpson gives the Broncos the touchdown. And that makes the final score San Francisco 51, Denver 7.
I love that.
That's about right.
Yep.
All right. So this one is for the Steve Young fan of the group. Steve Young, of course, set the record through six TDs in Super Bowl 29. Still a record for most touchdown passes thrown. Steve, can you tell me the three players that caught those touchdown passes?
Well, Jerry Rice obviously was one of them.
Jerry was one of them. Yeah. Yeah. The other two, one person caught two touchdowns and the other caught the one single one.
Did Ricky Waters catch one of them?
He did.
Okay.
Do you know how many he caught?
I'm going to say two.
Correct.
Okay. Awesome. All right.
So you only got one to go.
Single.
I'm going to say it was not any. It was a wide receiver, right? Just trying to help Steve out here. No.
It was a tight end.
It was a tight end.
Not a tight end either.
Who was the tight end?
Who was the fullback?
That's your answer.
Who's the fullback?
Ward number 40.
Oh.
Big beefy guy. Only played in the NFL for maybe a couple seasons.
Fullbacks are always beefy.
Yeah, I have no idea who the fullback of that team was.
I can't remember who the fullback was.
Okay, and Ricky Waters should thank him.
William Floyd.
Okay.
William Floyd.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as I was looking it up today, it was like, oh my gosh, I could have sworn like John Taylor,
right?
Brent, you know, and Brent Jones was still on that team. I was like, he might have called one. Nope.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Total tight end.
Taylor and Jones were the two in my head.
Yeah. Not amazing.
William Floyd. How about that?
They're throwing three swing passes and three slant routes. That's all Steve Young did.
That's pretty much what. Yeah. And then, of course, Jerry Rice going deep. I mean, that was like the first play of the game. Yeah. All right. So, of course, gentlemen, we're 2 days away from February 4th. That's a very special day for us here in the Philadelphia area.
Yes,
because that was the day that we won our first championship.
Over the evil empire.
Over the evil empire. Do you guys remember what the halftime score was of Super Bowl 50?
No idea.
Oh, okay. All right.
No idea.
It was an odd score.
It was an odd score. But I don't remember.
Of course, it was 41-33 at the final.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
But the halftime score.
The halftime, we were already up 3 or 4 when Foles went in for the Philly special.
For the Philly special. And it got the lead up to 10 at the half.
It was 10 at the half?
Yeah.
It
was 10 at the half.
It was 10 at the half. Okay.
They had a 3-point lead prior to the Philly special. They won it. 21-11? Say again?
21-11?
Close. 22-12 was the halftime score.
Okay.
Okay.
Because there was some funkiness, I think. Elliott had missed an extra point.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Gostkowski missed an extra point.
It was not comfortable.
And they went for two after the Philly special, didn't they?
No, it was 15-12 when they ran.
15. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah, so they're up 10 at that point.
Okay.
All right. This one still shocks me to this day because, you know, this is an NFL passing league, right? And that's what it is now. It's not a running league. But one quarterback way back in the day set the all-time completion percentage in one Super Bowl game. And here are the choices that you have to choose from for that.
Well, John, you're old. You can take this one.
Okay, thanks.
So it's either Tom Brady, Phil Simms, Drew Brees, or my boy, Joe Montana.
You said back in the day, so it would have to be Joe, right?
No, it's not Joe.
It's not Joe.
Oh,
it's so not Joe.
It's not Tom.
Nope.
No. Drew Brees.
It's got to be Brees.
Brees?
No. It's Phil Sims.
Wow. Really?
88% against Denver.
He's so plain.
Granted, he only threw like 22 of, I think he went 22 of 25 or something like that. Or
that's
22
awesome.
Of 26. But it was 88%. Hasn't been touched since.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Like that was like darn near 35 years ago, and it's still untouched.
Wow.
It's crazy. All right. We're getting there. Which is the only Super Bowl matchup that has taken place three separate times? So you've had a lot of repeat games, right? Of course, we have got a repeat here.
Steelers-Cowboys.
Steelers-Cowboys is spot on. Yeah, yep. They've met three times. Yeah.
I'm and surprised it's not more.
Wait till next year. It'll be Chiefs-49ers.
All right. Which city has hosted the most Super Bowls? So, you know, it's mostly
Florida?
Southern. Close.
Florida's not a city.
Oh, city. Miami?
You're in the ballpark, yeah.
Yeah, Miami.
Miami. Yeah,
I thought you said state. I'm sorry.
No, city.
Good. Miami.
Miami, really?
Miami. Yes. 11 times.
Wow.
5 times they played in the Orange Bowl. And then 6 times in their current stadium, the Hard Rock, Joe Robbie, whatever you want to call it, stadium.
I was going to say, I thought it was called Joe Robbie. But
yeah, I think it was at the beginning, yeah.
Most likely not to rain on that in that time is why they do that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be cold.
Yeah.
Do they count the Ace Ventura, Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl?
We should. I say we should. And I have
that has been part of the script yet. I don't know. I think that's still TBD on that
I have
one.
more moral clarity than Roger Goodell, so I say that we count it.
Yeah. All right. One Super Bowl set the record for the most combined yards gained by both teams. I'll give you a hint. The total was close to 2/3 of a mile. So 1,151 yards combined between the two.
That's not 2/3 of a mile.
That's close. Well, it's about 2/3.
1,100 yards? That's not 2/3.
1,100 yards. I looked it up.
Do the math again. Do the math again while we figure this out.
While you mull this over, I will. Yes.
Was it Super Bowl 52? Because there were a crap load of yards.
It sure was.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Boy, you're not even going to give me enough time to do it. All right, I'll look for post-production and prove you wrong once again.
I forgot my phone. Otherwise, I'd do it myself.
All right, three to go, gents. Name the 4 NFL franchises that, as of today, have
in this country.
In this country.
In this economy.
In this economy. Have never made a Super Bowl. Have never even gone to it. Give you a hint.
Not yet.
Okay,
all right.
The Houston Texans.
Correct.
Cleveland Browns.
Yes. Got 2 more.
The Lions.
Yep. Last one.
Can't remember half the teams.
Expansion team.
Jacksonville?
Mid-90s. Yes.
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yep.
All right.
Come on, Tony.
Like, seriously, right?
Well, we almost played them in 52.
Yeah.
We should have played them in 52.
Yeah.
Freaking Blake Bortles, man.
Yeah. Cheating-ass referees.
Yeah. All right. 2 to go.
John's been fined $40,000.
Yes. Twice.
Who threw the longest touchdown pass in Super Bowl history? So I have choices here. Terry Bradshaw being one.
There's no way he threw anything over 25 yards.
All right, so he's out.
It's just throwing him out immediately.
Steve's boy, Steve Young.
He had an arm.
Brett Favre, or Favre, or Jake DeLome.
I'm going to go with Jake DeLome. Yeah,
yes,
I'm going to go Jake DeLome. Yeah.
Just because you would throw him in there for. Well,
he's a Louisiana boy that could heave it a little bit.
He could throw it a long distance. He had an arm.
And I don't want to say Favre's name because he was stealing COVID money. So go to hell.
I was going to say, like, with with a DeLome, I would get extra credit if you knew who the receiver was who caught that football.
Who was
Carolina, right?
Yeah,
Carolina,
who was the big tall guy back in that day?
Mohsin Muhammad?
Big go.
That guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They duplicated him over and over again with each quarterback they had. They picked that guy, but different guy.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
With that.
All right, guys, last question. The longest field goal, who kicked it in Super Bowl history, right? So I'll give you a hint, 54 yards. Yeah. Your choices
are... That's not that far, really.
Yeah, it's not that far by today's standards.
It's like a chip shot for Jake Elliott.
Yeah.
He's one on the list. Jason Elam is another. Anna Vinatieri or Steve Christie? 54 yards. Who do you think bombed it from deep?
I mean, all of them could have easily done that.
Yeah. Elam's the 60 yarder.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, in Denver, though. Yeah.
Yeah, in Denver.
Yeah. And he was only there for like 97, 98.
Vinatieri.
Clutch kicker.
I don't think he kicked anything.
Steve Christie, Buffalo.
I don't think Christie kicked a 54 yarder.
No, I'll have to go with Elliott.
I don't think Elliott kicked a 54 yarder.
No, I don't think he did in the Super Bowl, but he seems like the only one that
kicked.
Believe it or not, guys, it is Steve Christie.
Huh.
Really? Against Dallas in the Atlanta Super Bowl. Yeah. Super Bowl 27.
That's a dumb kick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dome kick.
Would have been the Super Bowl 28, actually. That would have been it. But yeah, 54-yarder. It was a dome kick. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, dome kick.
Yep. Yep. And that is the end of all of my
Elam probably tribute. Made that from 75 in the...
You guys did pretty well there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought we got more than I thought we were going to get.
I was definitely not confident going in. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it helped a lot.
Thank you for putting that together. That was awesome.
Yeah, not a problem.
So. Some of the quarterback questions, I was going to be like, late gunslinger, dime drop of the sixth. He's the one.
I don't know.
He had completions in Super Bowl.
I was worried about, with the Steve Young. I mean, it was like everybody, it's like he's thrown the most. But who were they? And that, that would be like, oh gosh, Jerry.
That's a great question because there's especially those teams that shows you this NFL is not the same NFL that we grew up with. Like the fact that we could name most of that 49ers team being Philadelphians, like they were better. They were better than what we see now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, those Niners teams, like going back to like the late 80s and the early 90s, were just unreal. It's like I was watching they had Super Bowl 24 out on YouTube and I watched the whole game and it was just like it didn't matter what anybody was doing on defense. They were just like right down the field. It was unbelievable the amount of talent.
Well, the 94 team had, obviously we've named the offensive weapons, but they had Deion Sanders was playing corner that year.
Oh yeah.
Merton Hanks was the safety, right?
Yep. Ken Norton Jr. linebacker.
I forgot about him. Ken Norton Jr. Yeah. He had the guys up front who was like Dana Stubblefield.
Ricky Jackson was on that team. He famously earned, I think it was like $800,000 on the NFC Championship game to push his salary to $1 million because that's what he signed for.
Nice.
But he couldn't get that $800,000 bonus to get him to the million if he didn't get to the NFC title game that year.
Nice.
So that was an amazing incentive. I remember hearing about that.
See, everybody
cow, he played for $200,000. Crazy.
I had the distinct pleasure. We used to go to my mom's cousin's house every year in January. It was like a post-Christmas celebration.
Yeah.
And 94, it happened to be the Sunday the 49ers played the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And they had a big screen TV back when nobody had big screen TVs.
Yeah.
So I got to watch thumping of the Cowboys on a giant screen TV. That was the most magnificent day of football I had seen to that point in my life. It was fantastic.
How you doing, Glenn? How are you?
Was he there? Was he having fun?
Oh, he was there. He was not having fun. I will tell you that.
Sulking in the recliner?
Oh,
absolutely.
There.
there.
Well, no, yeah. Like you own a big TV and you can watch the Eagles shit the bed. So. You're winning. Don't worry about it.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Well, with that, we will conclude episode 175 of Two Noobs Talking. We hope you learned a little something about pigeons in jail.
Detained.
And the trials and tribulations they must go through.
Detain that pigeon, baby.
We must free the pigeon.
Yeah, Peter, come on. Get on that right now.
Get on that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm cheese a groundhog for crying out loud. Right. Anyway.
We will be back next week with episode 176. Where we talk about a badger who has been imprisoned for life for murder.
Or if the border holds up.
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But until then, we say see you later.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us here at Two Noobs Talking. If you want more information on what Two Noobs Talking is exactly, the good news is we have a website address. It's located at twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. Links to all of our previous episodes are there, along with some interesting information about the terrific trio of hosts. Please feel free to make a comment about this week's episode, too. We would love to hear what you have to say. Have a great week, and we hope to have you back next week for another great episode of Two Noobs Talking. Take care.